Good evening. I am so sorry. I did not take the opportunity when I first got up here to introduce the rest of my family. It's been 10 years since we've been with you. We recognize some faces. Some of them went through school with us. Some of them actually taught me in school. And so I'm grateful for your allowing the pastor in those years, early years, to come and share his wisdom with us from God's Word. But we also want to thank you for allowing us to come as well and to come back. But I want to share just the fact that the greatest thing that ever happened to me was my Lord and Savior saving me. The second greatest thing that I think ever happened to me was my Lord and Savior giving me my wife. My lovely wife, if she would stand, this is Debbie. And we've been married now for 28 years. This morning it was 26. She corrected me. Okay. I should have just taken out my prayer card. I could have looked at it and seen, but I forget. And the next gift that the Lord gave me was two wonderful children. Of course, my son, Logan, he's married. He got married on the 5th of January. He's hitched now, and he's starting to know what it's like to be a married man. And my daughter, Erin, as well. She's 20, and she's finished school. She started our Bible training program, and she's really enjoying that. She's looking forward to going back. She kind of feels herself to be a Kiwi now, so she's looking forward to going back to the school. And so I'm grateful for God's many blessings. If you have your Bible, if you would, turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. One of the things that God has really showed me over the years is his love and compassion. And with that love and compassion, he has he's done that for a purpose, because he wants us to have love and compassion on others. I had alluded in my slide presentation to the four points I wanted to talk to you about tonight: God's compassion, God's charity, God's call, command, and God's call. And the passage I want to use tonight is found in chapter 11 of Matthew, verse 28. If I could just get you to stand for this one reading of the passage, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. The Word of God says, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, God, we're grateful for the opportunity that you give us and the freedom we have to proclaim the truth of your word. Lord, I pray this evening as we come together that we've come with an open heart, ready to hear from your word, ready to be conformed into the image of Christ, ready to be moved by the Spirit to make some decisions according to your word tonight. Pray, God, that you would receive glory and honor in all that's said and done. I pray also, Lord, that today some might find rest in knowing that you have compassion for them, you have love for them, charity, and Lord, that you have a purpose in their life. I pray, God, today, again, souls might be turned to you if there's ones that know not Christ. It's in Christ's name that we pray and ask these things. Amen. You may be seated. I really, when I looked at this verse of Scripture, chapter 11, I looked at it, of course, as a lot of things, and a lot of people will preach a lot of different things from it. The main thing to understand is that if you're heavy laden, if you're burdened and heavy laden in life, there's only one place you can get rest. There's only one place you can get comfort. There's only one place that you can get satisfaction and contentment in your life, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. It is He that came to be our Savior, to experience the world that we live in today. God knows all about it, and this is why you can have compassion for us. The compassion that many people feel today is compassion of, well, I really feel sorry for that person. I know it must be tough what they're going through. Sometimes we've never even experienced that compassion ourselves, or that trial or that tribulation they're going through ourselves, but we still have somewhat of a burden in our heart for those people. Like, I don't know how many of you have experienced an earthquake in here. One or two, maybe a few. But until you've actually experienced that, you really don't know what it's like, or really what effects. I mean, you can see through television the effects, but when you go through it yourself, it does something different to you. It actually causes you to be more concerned, more driven, more compassion towards their situation and that they're going through. Well, the Lord wanted us to understand how much He cared for us when He sent His Son Jesus down to go through the same things you and I are going through. In the Word of God, if you've got there, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, you can turn there in your Bible. We see here that God wanted to show compassion. He wanted to allow Christ to experience certain things so that he could be something to us more than just a God in heaven. And of course, we know our Father is in heaven, but we also know that Jesus was sent for a purpose down here. Hebrews 4, verse 15 says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." You see, he went through the same hardships, the same trials, the same persecution. In fact, he probably went through more than each one of us could ever go through. However, so many in the world, and this is why I wanted to preach on this message today, and I see it so much in New Zealand, feel that they don't need God. What do I need God for? I've got brothers and sisters, I got family, I got the world. I mean, today all I've got to do is cry out to the world, I need help, and somebody will help them. Somebody will send out some support or some help for them, will come to them in their aid. And they think that they can handle just about anything. But I can guarantee you, those that went through Katrina understood that they couldn't handle everything. I remember when the earthquake hit in Christchurch in New Zealand. The first one was pretty severe, but it didn't do anything. No one was killed, everything. There was some rattling of the building, some damage. But the second one that hit was devastating. Lives were taken. People were not prepared for that. And there was no way that they could escape their fate in that situation. And then what about the tsunami that hit Japan? When I seen those footage on the television, I thought, man, is this a new Hollywood movie coming out? Some science fiction thing that they've animated or made? But that was real. And that just took lives unexpectedly. They were not prepared for that, and there was no way they could handle that situation. And then Sandy, the effects. I don't know if they had much effects here in North Carolina or not, or South Carolina, excuse me. But up north in the east, they definitely are feeling it and are still feeling it today. We had a gentleman in our church, and it's been a little over two years since Christchurch has been hit with the earthquake. And he came and visited our church, and he says, "I'm still living with friends." He doesn't have a house. Many are still living with friends. They're taking the whole city and moving it inland so that they're not on the fault line anymore. Rebuilding. See, people think that they're ready for every trial and every tribulation and everything that comes their way, but they're not. They may be able to handle it for a season, but then they're still spreading. And if people truly understood and had gone through those things, they would have compassion in a different way. And the reason why I'm telling you this is because you and I, if we know Christ as our Lord and Savior, have gone through some things that we've experienced that ought to burden our heart a little different. It ought to cause us to move and do things a little different with our life that has been redeemed through the blood of Christ. See, we have experienced the fact that we are our true condition, that we are unrighteous, that there's none of us that are righteous, there's none that are good, no, not one. And Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We understand that. We understand the truth about this through God's word, the truth that came to us. And we also understood that without Christ, our fate was the devil's hell. And so when we understood that, we don't want to be in that condition. We wanted to find rest. We wanted to find comfort. We wanted to find a surety that we would know where we were going to go if something happened to us. We've experienced also the fact that where we were seemed like there was nothing for us in life, and what am I here for, and why am I going through these things, and you know, I just don't, who cares? Nobody cares about me. I sit there and I think of all the 15-year-olds and those that are getting out of school, and the government supporting them there in New Zealand. They get four or five other New Zealand teenagers together, and they'll go in and they'll find an apartment to rent together, and they'll have from the age of 15 on up to, we know some that are 33, 34 years old that have never worked a day in their life, and they're getting support from the government, and they have no purpose in their life but to drink and take drugs, get into pornography, and find trouble in their life. That where they end up finding themselves is in a hole they can't get out of. And they find themselves so deep that they feel their only escape is to take their life. Suicide rate is unbelievable per capita in New Zealand. The finishing of those finishing school is unbelievably low in New Zealand. And they just don't find rest in their life. They think, what am I going to do? Who am I going to be? What can I do? Nobody cares. Great burdens, especially at the age of 14, 15, 16 years of age to feel. But God doesn't want us to leave us there. God doesn't want us to feel like that. You and I know our purpose. Now, I hope we know our purpose. I mean, I hope you realize that each and every one of us are missionaries in here. Every single one of us. Now, some of us might not be going to the uttermost. Some of us might not be selling our house and moving, picking up our roots and selling our cars and our vehicles and stuff and moving and shipping to a foreign country. I understand that. But God has called us all to do something. We all now have a purpose. And the greatest purpose of all is we serve the Lord of all creation. What a one who loves us beyond measure. And so we can have peace and rest in our life that we have purpose. And someone's never going to leave us. And any time that we go through a struggle or a hardship, we know that God's going to be with us. He's never going to leave us nor forsake us. He's going to pick us up. He's going to get us through it. And we're going to become the better for it. For he works all things out for good to those that love him. Even though those trials come through that seem they're overbearing and overpowering, we know that we have rest, that if something happens to us, we will not be in a devil's hell, but we'll be in heaven with our Lord and Savior. God had compassion for you and I. Can you imagine God leaving his throne where he overlooked everything and coming to this earth and suffering the beatings that he got, the torturing that he had, the ridicule and abuse, verbal and physical, that he had, and then finding himself on a cross dying? I don't know many that would go through something like that for another. But God had compassion enough, and he wanted to experience the things you and I could experience so that we can put our trust in him and know that he cares. He cared so much that he took action. Today, I don't know if anybody sent money to someone over in Christchurch or helped out in those situations over there in New Zealand or in Japan for that matter, or even up in New York area or Katrina. I think I've seen some efforts that went from this church that went out to help in those areas. And I'm grateful for your church. You guys have a tremendous heart for those that are suffering and going through hard times. And you guys have experienced, I'm sure, major storms that have caused problems and maybe tornadoes and other things that have happened here. So you've experienced those things and you've reached out. God says, since he had compassion for us, and we should have now compassion for others because we've experienced not only the trials they're going through, but also the condition of where they are. There are ones around us that know not the truth, and they're headed for a devil's hell. We're not, because we've received Christ. But where's our compassion to those that don't have it, that don't have that assurance? They're still heavy laden, they're burdened, they're wondering what's going to happen to them when they die. We must understand that God had compassion for us to reach out to us. And I'm so thankful that it took that a gentleman that didn't have to, because I didn't accept it the first time, he took three times to come and see me and share the truth with me. Three times. Some of you might say it only took one. Some of you might say, hey, it took 20 times. It may have took 20 years. But aren't you grateful that they continued to have compassion enough to reach out to you? What are we doing? Are we doing the same? Or are we stepping back and saying, no, I don't want to have compassion anymore because, you know, they keep abusing me. They don't want me in their house. They don't want to talk to me. Compassion continues to reach out. And as much as we abused God, as much as there are murderers and thieves and rapists and other things that are out there doing those things, we're not to hate the sinner. We're to love the sinner and hate the sin. Right. Reach out to them, because even in that condition that they're going through, they can still hear the truth of God's calling them. And it can set them free, and they can turn around and be a great servant for the Lord. See, compassion leads to charity. Charity costs something. Most of us in here, if we love somebody, we don't just think in ourselves, well, I really love that person, and do nothing about it. Love often causes us to do something. And for everyone that loves somebody, it's going to cost something. First of all, it's going to cost your time. For some of us, it costs our wallet book. Okay. For some of us, it costs our efforts. Men don't like to talk much, but I can guarantee women love to talk. And as men, it costs us a bit of time to just sit and listen. And some of the women, it costs them something. It means having to give up to the husband going hunting for this weekend. or to go fishing or whatever it may be. And it costs something. It costs something because you love them. See, it costs something when you have compassion for somebody and you have charity towards them, you will take a step towards them. You will do something about it. You won't stay in your comfort zone and do nothing. You'll act upon that. John 3:17 and 3:16 shows God's compassion and charity towards us. 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." See, God didn't send his Son, as 3:17 tells us, in to condemn the world, but to love the world, to redeem the world, to save the world. And God doesn't send us out there to condemn the sinner. He sends us out there to love him, to share the truth with them, that they might be reached with that truth and redeemed unto the Lord. And so we need to have that compassion. We need to have that charity that God had towards us that didn't stop caring and came to a point that he was willing to leave his throne and to come down to take those things that you and I went through, so that we can understand and we can relate to him as he can relate to us. God understands the sinner's condition, and you and I ought to understand the sinner's condition as well. 1 John 4:16 says, "And we have known and believed the love of God hath to us. God is love, and he that loveth is in love, dwelleth in God, and God in him." If you don't have a compassion for the lost, if you don't have a charity enough for the lost that is willing to suffer or sacrifice for them in whatever capacity, I would have to question whether you truly know the love of God and whether you truly know Christ as your Lord and Savior. He didn't come into our hearts to just give us rest of knowing where we're going to go. He came in to redeem us for a purpose. He has a desire for you and I to go out and do something for him. And that's where it leads me to the next point I have, which is God's command. We ought to be motivated by the Spirit that dwells within us to reach out to the lost, reach out to those who are suffering, reach out with the truth. You know, there's some hymns, I think, out there that talks about that we have the truth on our lips. But oftentimes that's where it stays. It never goes farther. You know, we have churches full of people that love to come in and fellowship with God's people. And what better place to be in? The sweet fellowship that we have. And it's comfortable. And we enjoy it in God's house, around God's people, and hearing God's word. But if we keep getting fed, we become fat and happy and do nothing outside these doors. The next time we look at a person, we ought to ask ourselves, is their fate heaven or hell? That ought to burden us. It ought to move us to a position of thinking, I need to ask, because I have something that will give them rest. I have something that will give them a surety of where they will spend eternity, and then I won't have to worry about them anymore. But if we're not going to reach out and ask them, we're basically saying we don't care. I'm okay. I'm good. Why do I need to do anything else? Well, because you have a purpose. God redeemed you for a purpose, not to sit on your hands, but to get out. It's going to cost you something. You know, when we surrendered to go to New Zealand, it cost us something. We went to the uttermost. And so we had to, you know, to sell the roots, sell our home. Had to sell my Dodge Diesel Cummins 250 Dodge Ram. You can ask my wife. I hugged and cried when I sold that thing. It cost me something. But you know, it was worth it. Because so many have come to know Christ. And yes, we left the comforts of America. We left family and friends. But you know, God gives us a close family over there as well. Our church is our family. And sometimes they're closer than family. Amen. Sometimes our family can persecute us and they don't want us around because we love the Lord too much and we want to talk about the Lord. And keep doing it, because someday maybe they'll say, I'm going through something I can't take, and I know my sister or my brother or somebody else has gone through that. Let me call them. And then you can tell them how you got through it. The Lord gave you strength. And then you can start going down that road of reaching them for Christ. See, God has commanded us to go. Matthew 28, 18 to 20 tells us in the Word of God that I put up on the slides. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, that is a command. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. If we actually have compassion for others, if we actually want to do something and are willing to sacrifice ourselves to do it, then we will be obedient to this command. We can be obedient in many different ways. We can be obedient by praying. And I would guarantee that's probably, you think that that's easy. Praying is hard because it takes time. It takes concentration, it takes preparation. But that prayer, that fervent prayer, will do mighty works. And if we had anything, if we had nothing else but your prayer, many things would be done in New Zealand. It takes some effort to get down on your knees, to get away, to study, I mean, to set yourself aside and pray fervently for your missionaries and for souls to be saved even around here. But sometimes God wants us to do a little more. He wants us to reach into our pocket and to take some money out that he's blessed us with, that he's made us stewards over, and to give that others may go. Or to send to those that are in the foreign field, or for whatever project it may be to reach out. God calls us to do that. And I do believe he sets some aside for that specific purpose. He doesn't call us all to go to the uttermost. We wouldn't have anybody to support him. We're grateful for you guys. You're holding the ropes back here for us. And you're supporting the work out there. But he also calls some to go to the uttermost. And I can guarantee that if God is calling you, if God had compassion upon you and charity, and he has commanded you to do something, that he will not let that burden go away. Once you're burdened with a call from God, that burden will stay with you until you surrender to it. I'm sure I've shared this maybe with some of you before, but God had called me when I was younger, 20 years old. For 19 years I ran. I went to Bible college when I was 39 years of age. It's never too late. If you still got breath, God has a purpose for you. And if you feel that God is calling you to the foreign field, then go ahead. Surrender and God will prepare you. And God will make a way for you. And he'll use you and mold you to do that. If God has commanded you to do it, then he is the provider for that. He provisions you for it. And we have the truth that others need to hear. And that's why he says, go ye into all the world and teach. Teach them what? The truth. And it'll set them free. And of course, he talks in here as well that we ought to baptize them, because that's our outward and public profession of receiving Christ and putting our trust in Jesus Christ. And we need to do that. And by the way, it costs something to do that. See, God wants us to love enough him that we'll step out. You know, it takes a lot to step out of that pew to come up here sometimes. Got to humble your pride. Got to humble your pride before your children, or before your peers, or before your parents. God expects us to cost us something. He wants us to step out. And then, of course, teaching others that they might go out. And we're at that stage now in New Zealand where we have several that have received Christ, they've been baptized, and now we're training them to go out and do likewise, to go out and to reach others. Our youth group, we have about anywhere from 4 to 15 or 16 that'll come, and we've been taking them through how to soul win. We've been taking them through scenarios in the church, in situations at school and their public schools or at their workforce or wherever it may, taking them through scenarios and walking them through how to witness to somebody, and if somebody says this, how would you respond to this? And they're getting a little bit more comfortable with sharing that. And I know that the pastor probably has something here for teaching people or helping people how to go out and witness. But you know, the greatest witnessing tool is your testimony. If you know Christ, People will see you're different, and you tell them why you're different. Because Jesus came into your heart. The truth set you free. And you've become a new creature. All things have become new to you. And they can see that you're a new creature, and they want to know more. I can tell you the problem today with much of those that would call themselves Christians is where we may be sharing the truth of the gospel with others, and they're coming to know Christ, but we're failing to take those new Christians through a program or through a discipleship program that can train them up to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, to be able to go out into the world and still function as a Christian that others might see the light of Christ in their life. They're fine to do it here in the church. They're happy to talk about it, but when they go out there, they kind of hide under a bushel, don't they? Why? Fear of the unknown. What's someone going to say? What's someone going to do? Will I be able to answer the questions? I just don't want to go through that. I don't want to take that chance. I may lose my job. Listen, if you lose your job, again, it's going to cost you something. And if it loses your job for it, I know that's, we think that I can't lose my job. How am I going to provide? Well, we serve a God in heaven that says he'll meet our every need. Amen. And sometimes he does it through other people as well. And that's why we have our local body. When one part of the body is suffering, the other part of the body reaches in and helps out. And so it is going to cost you. And I can tell you why our country is deteriorating here. It's because we have the truth and we're not going out with it. We're not standing up. We're not speaking out. We're not sharing Jesus Christ. And yet those that are against it, those that are opposed to it, they're speaking out. And that's where we are today in America and in New Zealand. You know, they have passed, if there's even a mention of something that people want to do here in America that's ungodly, New Zealand passes it as a law. I mean, I've heard for years that they were going to pass a bill here or a law that you couldn't spank your children. I don't think they've passed that yet here, have they? But, I mean, you might get reported to the authorities, and they'll come and talk to you and maybe take your kids and deal with that situation, but there's not a law. Well, they passed a law in New Zealand. You cannot discipline your children in any way. And so if we have good Christian parents that are still following God's word on how to bring up a child, and they're in jail today because of it. And people aren't speaking out. And unfortunately, our government is so strong now, the animal is so big, we've got ourselves in a hole so deep that it's almost impossible to get out of. Even if you speak up now, the animal is so big and the ball is rolling so fast, you can't stop it. But you know, the Lord hasn't come back yet. There's still time. The fields are white unto harvest, yet the laborers are few. You see, all of us are laborers. When we come to church, we're eager to labor in the church and help out in an amazing choir and just a beautiful facility. But as soon as we leave this church, do we labor for the Lord? If we're not going to labor out there, it's not. They're not going to come in here. They're just as happy to follow the rest of the world. That's like those teenagers. They got in the world so much, they're in such a deep hole, their only way out to them is suicide. See, we've got such a big animal out there. Our only way of escape for us is, oh, well, it's just hide in the church. They need us. Souls are perishing. A farmer that has a field that's white unto harvest, it's ready for reaping those harvest, and he knows it, and if he doesn't go out to those that are in the harvest, the fruit in the trees, what's going to happen to the harvest? They're going to start dropping, rotting, and dying. See, we have, God says, we're all called, but the laborers are few. We have the truth, but we're not going out into the fields with it. And the fields start right here in Jerusalem. And Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost, if God calls you to there. We cannot sit back and hear God's command and say we have compassion and love for the lost and not go out and do it. God's not a dictator. God is calling. Isaiah 6:8 says, as Isaiah comes before the Lord in a vision, the Lord is sitting there and he says, Isaiah said he heard a voice from the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Here God sitting in his host of angels, the seraphim and the cherubim there, and he's saying, "Who will go for us?" And Isaiah says, "Here am I. Here am I, Lord, send me." Amen. See, he had compassion for his people. He had charity. He was willing to say, "God, I'll volunteer. Let me go." God's not a dictator. He's not going to force you. But he is asking. He's commanding you to go. He's calling you to go. He's waiting for you to say, "Here am I, Lord, send me. I'll talk to my mom again and again and again, or my dad, or my brother, or my sister, or my coworker. I won't give up. God, I know you've called me to go, and I'm waiting for them to be ripe. I'm waiting for you to draw them, that I can be there, ready, with the truth that will set them free. And they will no longer have to be heavy laden, burdened and heavy laden. They will have rest like I have." So many today hear it in the church, but they leave it in the church. I pray today that maybe if God is burdening your heart, maybe you've been hearing that call for a long time. Maybe it's to the uttermost, or maybe it's just to your worker that you're working with. If God has called you, why continue to run from it? We're all going to stand before God and give an account. He has called us for a purpose. He's commanded us and he's asked us. What more can he do? We have to be willing to say, "Lord, here am I. Send me." I thank you again for your allowing us to go and represent you in New Zealand. Are you willing to go? Let's all stand. I know if the Holy Spirit's inside you and you know the truth of God's word, you know you've been called. And I know right now that somebody's in your mind that you're thinking, "I need to talk to again." Or maybe God's laid someone new on your heart. And I know that God loves you and desires for you to serve him. But are you willing tonight? Are you willing to give a little? Willing to allow it to cost you something, whether it's your time, whether it's your talents, whether it's your treasures, or whether it's you, your time and your talent to go. If God has called you, don't run like I did for 19 years. That burden will not leave you. It will forever be on your shoulders, and that weight. Surrender today. I think back to 19 years of running. How many fruit fell from the tree and died? I know God had his plan, but it's still a burden I carry that there could have been many souls come to know Christ if I'd just gone and told them, taken that truth, surrendered earlier. Don't let that happen in your life. If God's called you, you come tonight. I'm going to pray, and then I believe there'll be an invitational hymn. If you need to come to the altar, if you need to talk to the pastor, or you need to know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're wondering whether or not you'll have a home in heaven, then you come down. I'm sure someone here will share with you in God's word how you can have peace of knowing how to go to heaven and what has been done so that you can go to heaven. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, God, we love you and we thank you, God, for your word of truth. We thank you, Lord, for your compassion that you had for us, that you were willing to depart from the throne and to come here because you loved us so much. That it cost you, Lord, your Son, that we might have life and have it more abundantly, and might have peace and rest. Lord God, I pray that if there are those in here today that are feeling the burden to surrender to you in some way, to go out to talk to their loved ones or to go to the foreign field to spread the truth, Lord, that you would give them the strength today to step out. Give them the strength. I know it's going to cost them something, but Lord, I pray you give them the strength to step out tonight and make that decision. Lord, may you receive the glory and honor in this invitation tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.